welcome to another episode of The First Incision, a CMF podcast, where we open up topics at the interface of faith and medicine that affect our Christian lives in today's world. I'm your host, James Howitt, and I've got with me Noel and Laura. Guys, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thanks, James.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Awesome. So Noel is a health clinical research fellow, and Laura is a pediatrician and a PhD researcher, I believe, as well.
That's right.
Wonderful. So, I mean, that all sounds really incredible. You guys must have, I mean, way more than the topic we're going with, obviously, is 35,000 decisions a day, but you guys must make way more than that. How did you come to be interested in talking about this stuff?
Well, I think there's a number of different reasons. One is that we love being with people, we love being with other health professionals, and the whole theme of decisions is something that weighs on people's hearts and minds hugely. Because like you inferred there, like as health professionals, we are making so many decisions a day, and that's just at work. That's not even in our private lives and everything else. So as people, we're carrying a massive burden of decision making, but also how can we see decision making as a blessing, and how to manage some of the stress and responsibility that comes with it, and how to thrive and grow and actually enjoy the depth of your relationship with God that flourishes from decision making with him.
Could you tell me a little bit about kind of why, so we've already touched on it a little bit, but why decision making is particularly kind of important for you guys? Have there been particular decisions in your life that you feel like you've had to have made that have kind of shaped this talk that you're giving today?
The decision making has been a vital part in my life personally, because when I was an 18-year student after A-levels, I had this huge decision that I had to make in taking up medicine. And the only option at that time I had was to either go to Russia and pursue medicine or stay in India and do something non-medical.
Oh, wow.
And I had this deep-seated peace about this decision that I was about to take by going to Russia, which clearly had its challenges, its difficulties, and from every side I was surrounded by pure difficulties and challenges. But I knew that this decision is going to transform my every next step that I'm going to take in my life. And God had a plan in place, and he gave me the peace about it. And there my journey started with that first step that I took in my life, that first decision to do what God has called me to do, is to take up the challenge to go to Russia and pursue medicine and learn the language, accept the people of Russia, love the people of Russia.
So you had no experience of Russia at all before going and doing this?
I didn't know a single word of Russian language.
Wow.
Before going to Russia. And the first 3 months of being in Russia were absolutely difficult. But once again, that decision came in front of me that do I go back home or do I stay grounded? And once again, I got that peace within me and God prompting, saying, there is a purpose. There is a reason why I've brought you to this place, and I want you to be grounded and stay where you are, and you will see my purposes fulfill in your life and the promises that I have in store for you in this very country.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, to be honest, I feel like we could sit here for half an hour and talk about that, to be honest. I just want to ask, what did you do after medical school in Russia? Did you stay in Russia or did you go elsewhere?
Well, another decision came in front of me when I was in the fourth year, where this a junior doctor from the United Kingdom comes on a mission trip, which I was an organizer of this event of a Christian charity called Prime. And this is Laura, my wife, sat there, how we met in Russia. And no plans of getting into a relationship or getting married to anyone, but God puts this perfect person in front of me and tells me that you've got to say yes and get into a relationship. So God has his own ways and miraculous ways of doing things. And here we are, 10 years later. We've just recently celebrated our 10 years of wedding.
Congratulations.
And we've got two beautiful kids, and we are just seeing God's miracles in our lives.
Well, I mean, it sounds like you guys have obviously had to make some pretty big decisions in your life at various times. Let's kind of pull back a little bit from that then and talk a bit about decision making more generally. So first of all, how do we practically, kind of as human beings, how much control do we actually have over our decisions, do you think?
Well, I think different views and science say different things. I think that word control means different things to different people, even in the Christian context. And I think if you take the sort of extremes, either the view that God controls us like robots and we do not have free choice, that our destiny is set in stone and we walk a path without choice, I don't believe that's biblically correct. But equally, I don't believe that we're helpless beings just wash along by the train of every thought that comes through. That's also not what the Bible tells us about our ability to interact with what's happening in our mind. And I strongly feel that the Bible says that we are whole people, that we are body, mind, and spirit, and we are all connected. And our mind and our thoughts and how our body responds to those thoughts and those feelings and how our body talks to our mind are so integrated that actually the control comes, one, when we have more understanding of what's happening in our body and more understanding about the foundations upon which we should make decisions. That's when our ability to see truth, to make wise decisions, and to have more control over those voices and thoughts that come start to develop. And I think one of the things that Noel and I very strongly feel when it comes to decision making, and particularly as Christians, it's about building that foundation of relationship with God first, so that when the big decisions come in life, you have such a deep-rooted decision with such a deep-rooted trust in God as your father, that you already have a really strong foundation, a relational foundation, an identity from which to go forward and make that decision. And that's in decision-making science as well. We know that what you perceive to be your identity has massive implications for what you then decide is risk and what decision you then decide to take and what you believe the overall long-term consequences of that will be. So we have a lot of interest in building that strength and strengthening that foundation for people and for Christians, so that when these things come, you're not suddenly all at sea. You've got that strong foundation to build on.
Wow. As a pediatrician, do you think that the way the decision making changes as we grow and become adolescents and then adults, how our decision making processes change, do you think there's kind of an element there that we can see?
Oh, definitely. And you know, when we start as babies, really our bodily drives are shouting at us the loudest about, you know, we need food now, we need rest now, we need love now, we need comfort now. And as we grow older, the ability to make decisions and to be able to see into the future gets more and more complex. And that's why we need to understand and be a lot more caring about adolescence and not assume that all those abilities to view in the future are there yet, because they're still growing and they're still building. And as we get into adulthood, they get more and more complex and we have more and more resources and abilities to make those decisions. But actually that pattern of growth and that decisions along the way and what has happened to you in your life does shape where you are when you get to adulthood.
In terms of control in decision-making from a Christian perspective, as a Christian medic, it's very important that we give that control to God. And there is no control when it comes to how God wants to lead us in what he has in store for us. And though that decision that we have to make sounds crazy, but there's something really great that God has prepared for us, that he wants us to take that decision and go forward, move forward, and enjoy.
How then, I suppose, if we've kind of moved through adolescence and looking into adulthood, how do we practically and spiritually, how do we work on making good decisions, work on making godly decisions, do you think?
I think it's very important as a Christian to give Christ the first priority in our life, and the decision-making process becomes easier from that context. It doesn't mean that the decision that we've taken would lead us through a easier, simpler life. It might be much more difficult than the comfortable decision that me in my body is wanting to do and settle down in a more comfortable place. So I think it is very important for us to realize what God wants us to do. Listen to what God wants us to do as well. And I understand that not always we hear the audible voice of God. And I personally don't listen to God's voice every time. By that I mean, for me, he communicates with me by bringing opportunities in front of me and gives me that inner peace saying, no, this is what you need to do.
I think for me, those core themes of identity and just taking the time in your life to stop and look at who has God made me to be and what gifts has he given me and what spiritual gifts has he given me and what are those deep desires in my heart that I believe are there, because I really don't believe that God gives us these deep nudges and visions and dreams in our hearts ever to taunt or tease us. And I think they always speak to an underlying purpose that God has placed in us that he wants us to outwork. And I think one of the powerful things when you're making a decision is to understand yourself and what God is calling you to do. Because you, when you know that line of the arrow that you're trying to shoot, then you know what you can say yes to because it's in line with your purpose. And equally powerful, you know much more clearly what you should say no to with grace. And that is equally important. And I think especially as medics, where we've got so much pressure to do more and more and more and more. And we can also feel pressure from our church environments because people recognize that generally we're fairly capable and we're very good at quite looking calm on the outside. And so with the greatest intention meant, we can also have approaches from our church family to do more and more and more and take leadership roles. And then perhaps we're involved with clubs and voluntary societies and so on. And we can end up in such a flurry of busyness that we actually lose who we are and our purpose. So some of the greatest decisions can actually be giving things up to be able to move forward towards your purpose. And purpose as well is not just to be a pediatric consultant or to be a GP, but actually those deep core values that fit in line with the fruits of the Spirit and those core characteristics of God who we are made to reflect. So for example, for me, the core that I always feel nudging at my heart is about justice and is about enabling people whose voices are currently not heard for their own voice to now be heard. And if things that come my way fit with that, then I have a much stronger, deep knowledge that this should be a yes. Even if that sounds risky, even after immediately after I say yes, I have a bit of a vulnerability crash, but I know it's in line with God's purpose for me. And when you stop and you know yourself, and you know what God says about you, not what your consultant says about you or your parents have said about you or your peers say about you, that deeper knowledge of you and your purpose and you before Christ is a really guiding light and a guiding step to making clear decisions.
And so how do we begin, if there are people listening who think, I understand that my identity is in Christ, but I don't really understand kind of going forwards from that, where that leaves me in my identity in terms of decision making. It sounds like that's something that you have a fairly good understanding about for yourself. Like, how did you develop that understanding, I suppose?
I think you develop that understanding sometimes by just taking the first step, because it's hard to move forward if it's just brain candy, if it's all just thoughts and you don't act. And there comes to a point of, if, for example, I can feel nudging in my heart, there's something about justice here. Now, there is power in me praying about that and praying about that and praying about that and reading about that. But there is also a time where I need to take an action. So for me, that was seeking out skilled professionals and charities working in the field of modern slavery and human trafficking and working out how could I fit into that. That means deliberately seeking out books from people who have worked in the field with trafficking survivors after genocide. That means when an opportunity comes for me to work with trafficked young people, I say yes, when perhaps many other people would say no, because it can be intimidating and feel very vulnerable. And it's not that you just suddenly zoom up to this place where you are reaching where you feel your purpose was or the dream that you had 10 years before. It's just step by step by step, one thing at a time. And for me, what happened with sort of seeking that justice is that I started caring for those trafficked children in a clinic and started feeling that we could do better for these young people. And then, well, could I be the one to perhaps research a way to do this better? And then just Googling and finding people who were working in that field, asking questions and putting myself forward and say, I'm interested in this. Could you give me the next step? And then taking that next step when it came. And I've now got to the position of being able to help advise our NHS on modern slavery and health, and even our government. And that's just step by step by step. Nobody just zooms there. But if I'd only stayed in that position of just knowing justice was in my heart and just always, always, always preparing and never ever sort of landing the plane, then you, one, you feel frustrated in your decision making and frustrated in your purpose. But two, you don't get to experience that real joy of walking in a decision that God has guided you into.
So I think most people would agree that as Christians, it's fairly obvious that we're called to often to make different decisions to kind of what the world would think, that idea of being in the world but not of the world. But is there a difference, not just in the decisions that we make as Christians, but how we go about kind of working through and making decisions as Christians?
As Christians, I think one of the biggest things that really helps is that we have a different perspective. So I think if you don't have a faith in God and you believe your life is very temporary, then it's incredibly logical that you do the best thing just for you and those you love. And that makes sense. But when you're a Christian, you have a very different perspective, both on who you are and your purpose in the world and your call to love others, not only the lovable ones, but the ones who completely creep you out and the ones who you find really challenging and difficult. And your perspective means that you are not only looking at the end of your life, but you are looking into eternity. And that perspective for me changes everything. Because what you chase and what you count as success and what you count as failure is totally changed in the light of a God who loves you and a God who is not there with a scorecard and a God who's not going to be there looking at your e-portfolio or your number of audits or anything like that. Which well,
that,
the world can throw
at. That was a waste then, wasn't it?
Yeah, that was a real waste, that wasn't it? But thank goodness for that. So I think knowing that there's something beauty in community as well, and that you're not all on your own. And I don't think Christians should ever use that as an excuse for not trying to do their best. I think God really wants us to be excellent in our medical profession and in being faithful husband and wives and doing our best with our children. So we don't want to use that as a cop-out for being lethargic or even, you know, deliberately sinful in what we're doing. But knowing that your God has got you and he's totally got you means that you can take risk and you analyze risk very, very differently.
I think for me, I wanted to read from Ephesians 1, verse 11, where Paul writes, "In him we are also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will." So I think in the practicalities of taking that decision, we need to realize that actually God is the one who has chosen us. It's not me who has chosen him, but he's chosen me. And it's not me who loved him, but he loved me first. And there is a plan and a purpose as per his will on this earth. So it becomes very obvious to my human mind that though I have a choice, but actually God has already chosen, planned, predestined everything that he wants me to do on this earth for his will, not what I want to do for myself and for my ego and for my career. It's all about his kingdom. So I think it's an important fact to recognize from the Bible that we essentially need to say yes. It might sound a very simple thing to do, but I think we struggle to say yes to what God has already planned, predestined for us.
So, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but would you agree then that God has a plan for us, but that we have to, I suppose, agree to follow along with that plan and to make those choices?
I believe that God always gives us that choice to say yes or no, and that dictates what the rest of our life is going to be. I don't think God is a God who spoon feeds us from the day we are born. He gives us those choices when we are adults, and we have that choice to say yes or no, and let him take the control.
guys, thank you so much for coming on the show. It's been really amazing to hear what you both have to say and hear a little bit about your story as well. That's absolutely fantastic. Just before we go, is there anything that you'd suggest other kind of resources for people who maybe have been listening to the podcast and said, that's really interesting, but I'd like to read a bit more or find out more about this kind of topic? Anything that you can suggest for us?
I think it's worthwhile everybody takes time to get to know who God has created them to be. So I think it is useful to go and do spiritual gifts questionnaires. A lot of them are available free online, and probably your church pastor can advise a really good one. One of the things I've been discovering is that your spiritual motivational gifts actually also impact the way you see suffering and you see the world and you approach decisions. For example, if you have the gift of mercy, then you will be so good at empathizing with people and coming alongside them if they're in a difficult situation with a decision. And you'll be the most wonderful person to sit with somebody through an extended period of difficulty. But if you are somebody who has the spiritual gift of exhortation, for example, you're somebody who wants to speak truth, unlock people and move them forward. And you will see the same situation through a different lens to do with your gifting. So explore that, explore the strengths and the weaknesses God has given you, and be empowered to go with the strengths God has given you and not to fight back and always pick what you're weakest at in a way to sort of bolster them up. But if God has blessed you with certain gifts or leadership or whatever that is, explore that further, seek out books and wisdom, both secular and Christian, to move you forward in understanding the skill set God is giving you to surrender to him to move forward.
I would recommend two books that have really impacted me. The first one being The Last Arrow by Irwin McManus. And the story is about from 2 Kings, where the king is asked to shoot the arrows, but he decides to shoot only limited numbers of arrows and not all the arrows that he's supposed to shoot. And I would recommend everyone to go and read that story and the book. And the idea of the book is to use all the potentials that God has given you, that don't keep your quivers full of arrows. You need to use them all for what God has called you to do and maximize from this wonderful life that God has given. And recently I've been reading the devotional from Bear Grylls called Soul Fuel. And as we all know, Bear, he with his adventures and great things that he's done in the wild, he's so raw, so real, and so genuine in his love for Christ and talking about the weaknesses and reliance on God. And I really, really recommend to read that devotional, because it has had a great impact on my life.
Amazing. Guys, thank you so much. It's been great to have you both. I hope you enjoy the rest of your time here at conference. And I hope everyone listening has enjoyed listening. And we will see you in 2 weeks' time. Thank you very much, and God bless.